talking on worship, but I want to go there again today. And we have talked about that there are the bottom line is it's not about whether we're going to worship. We are going to worship. It's about who we're going to worship and what we're going to worship. There are people that in their life they worship their work. There's other people that might put their spouse or some person before they even put themselves or even put God. You know, if you ever have more love for a spouse or a person or something than you do for God, then something's not in order. God, that relationship has to be right first. And we can love people and love those that God places in our life, but, you know, God should be our number one priority, and He should be the object and the subject of our worship. We talked about several Hebrew words and Greek words for the word worship, several different ways that you worship God. And all of those are involved in the scriptures that I gave you. I gave you guys printouts of the scriptures that talk about, that use all the different words used throughout the scripture for worship. I also, in those words, it also gives descriptions of what they did when they worshiped, whether they laid flat on the ground or whether they stood with hands in the air, you know, regardless, whether they wept. It doesn't matter, you know, how you worship as long as you're worshiping. It's all about a heart attitude. We're worshiping God from a heart. You can worship God with music, but just because you have music doesn't mean that you're worshiping. It's all about a heart attitude towards worshiping the creator of the universe and your God. We talked about what worship is. It's to give reverence and to give awe and to give respect as a result of the things that God's done in our lives. We talked about where we could worship. You can worship God anywhere, when you should worship. You can worship God anytime. You have 24/7 unobstructed access to the Father. You can praise Him. You can worship Him. You can magnify Him. You can call on His name anytime you want to. Anywhere, anytime. Who can call on the name of the Lord? Who can worship the Lord? If you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you can worship. Now, all of creation worships, but not all of creation worships Jehovah God. So we need to understand that that's what we worship. Some people worship money. I've seen some of these people that when you see their commitment to some major movie star or some musician, it's like it's almost an unhealthy, almost like a worship for that group or that person or whatever. You know what? You can't do that. God's got to be number one. When God's number one, it'll be a little different about how we look at everything else. Amen. Everything that we have belongs to God. God's given it to us. We're stewards of what it is that God's given us. We're stewards of the money. We're stewards of the house. We're stewards of the car. We're stewards of the family. We're stewards of whatever it is that God's given us. It all belongs to Him on loan for us to be responsible for while we're here in this kingdom of God down here. All right? So we're responsible. Some people going, well, you know, I'm believing God for the Mercedes. I'm believing God for the jet. Well, you know what? Believe high. Believe big time for the things of God. But if you're not taking care of what it is that you've got and being a good steward over it, the likelihood that more is going to come is probably not very good. Take care of what God's given you. Be proud of what it is that God's given you. And thank Him for what He's given you. And thank Him that He'll give you above and beyond what you could ever think about. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard the things that God has for us and has in store for us. We need to remember those things. Amen? We need to worship Him because of that. You know, it's interesting. I have a broker. Where I put my investments, And by the way, I do have money in that system, but I've got first of all, the people who handle my money are brothers and sisters in the Lord, Christian people, but they're also in that world of the finance, right? So no matter what it is that we do, we've got to do it by faith. Let me give you an example. So the doctor says that you have diabetes, okay, and you've been on insulin, but you're believing God to come off the insulin. Well, you know what? You don't be a nuthead and go and throw the insulin away. Here's what you do. By faith, you believe God that, and you continue to take the insulin until you go in and see the doctor, and the doctor says, you know what? There's no need for you to take this insulin anymore. You know, give him the opportunity to work. Give him the, sometimes there's an immediate deliverance, but you better know that you know that you know, right? When you go to the doctor, it's okay to go to the doctor, but go to the doctor by faith. You know, and have faith that God's going to give the doctor the wisdom of whatever it is that you're going to do. I believe God heals, but I'm going to tell you, if you're at that point where you've got something that concerns you, is worried, you know, that's got you concerned or whatever, something just doesn't feel just right, and you feel like you just need to go and have that checked, there should be no condemnation for you to do that. God sent physicians and nurses and nurse practitioners and pharmacy. You know, the Bible says, laughter doeth good like a medicine. So if medicine wasn't okay, he wouldn't be talking about how good laughter was. Right? That's what he uses as the analogy. I don't think that means everybody needs to go trip on acid or anything, but you know what I'm saying. I'm talking about legal medications that you go and take. Just don't take it upon yourself to medicate yourself for everything. But I'm telling you that anything that you do it by faith. I invest the money with the people that I'm a part of by faith. I don't trust the world system. But by faith, I've put my trust in the people who I am investing with and all of that stuff. But see, that's not my object of worship. My object of worship is God. And because my object of worship is God, then whatever it is that I do, I'm going to do it by faith. Okay? I'm going to invest by faith. If I go and see the doctor, I'm going to do it by faith. I'm going to do all those things in faith. And don't think you don't need faith when you go to the doctor. Because that doctor may not have the kind of faith that you got. And they might be telling you all kinds of stuff. Have you ever noticed? They call it practicing medicine for a reason. Because many times you come in with a particular symptom and all these tests that they're running is to rule out this and to rule out that. They don't have any idea what it is, but they just want to run this test to rule this out and to rule that out. And some of the stuff they start throwing out there right away, like the C word, the cancer word, and diabetic word, and all these different, hypertension word, all these words they start throwing out of what it could be, kidney failure, whatever it is. And believe me, they'll mention that kind of stuff too, to the point that it makes you nervous. The doctor called, somebody connected with the doctor's office where Courtney's going, called them up and wanted to do genetic counseling with them because Brad's grandmother, I guess, had muscular dystrophy all her entire life. Well, you know what? They're not going to go to that. They don't need to go to that. Number one, if you know anything about that, both people have to be a carrier for that to even happen. And number two, that's never entered anybody's mind. You know, we're believing happy, healthy, wealthy, and all that kind of stuff, you know. And so when you go to the doctor, you better go by faith. And when those people call, instead of you, trying to be Mr. Dogmatic and go, I rebuke all that in Jesus' name to the medical, they're just doing their job. They're doing what they know based on what they know. You don't have to do all that. What you do is say, well, thank you very much. And you walk out and you go, Lord, I just thank you in Jesus' name from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I'm healed, whole, healthy, walk in health. This baby will be the healthiest baby there ever was. In Jesus' name. That's what you do. That's what you do. And, you know, hey, You better know God when you go in and some of those reports that they give you. You better know that there is a great physician. And any good physician, when they get to a certain point, will tell you, don't know why I'm telling you all this, because it has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. But I'm telling you that, you know, you need to have faith when you go to those places. And there are things that they're telling you, which is what they do by their practice and by their trade. But sometimes they'll say, you know what, if something happens, it will be a miracle. It will be miraculous. Well, you better know who the great physician is and that healing has been provided for your life when a doctor's telling you there's nothing I can do for you. Amen? So trust God, have faith in God, and that should be the object of our worship. It's all in His control and in His hands. And if y'all missed Wednesday night, I woke up Wednesday morning and the Lord told me that Miss Pat had something on her heart. And, so, you know, I didn't think a lot about that. I figured we'd talk about it later. And that she had something to share. And then that morning I went to do my devotion. When I turned on, I checked my messages. When I did, I saw a post from Miss Pat. And when I did, I said, you know what? This morning the Lord checked me in my spirit. He just checked me again when I saw your name, that you have something that you'd like to share. And I'm going to tell you, Wednesday night, she did a bang-up job on pretty much talking about standing on the Word of God. You better know where your confidence and your trust is at. It better be in the Word. And instead of just knowing that that's what the Word says, you actually have to go out and do it. And there comes a time when we get so much Word and so much Word and so much Word, and we get all filled up, that we have to take a stand on what the Word says, and we can't let the enemy beat us down every week and every day and all that kind of. We got to walk in confidence in what the Word says, and when those feelings come on us and try to overcome us, we need to say, whoa, wait a minute. I'm not going there in Jesus' name. I'm not going under. I'm going over, and it doesn't matter what your situation is, but that's what the Word says. We got to get the Word in us to where that lie in our ear doesn't faze us. Because anything that says that I'm not going to be victorious, anything that says that I'm not going to win, anything that says that I'm going under and I'm not going over, doesn't line up with the book. When I'm serving God and He's done what He's done for me, and you know, anytime we feel that, we need to pull ourselves out of our situation, our circumstance right there, and we need to get over to, you know, to the Word side and start confessing some Word over our lives. We need to do that. And that's where your trust is. That's where your affection is. That's why we stand in awe. That's why we reverence God. That's why we lift Him up. Because when it all boils down to it, it's all because of Him. You're here because of Him. You're saved because of Him. You're healed because of Him. You're blessed because of Him. And if that's not worthy of your affection, how many times have you tried to fix something and you couldn't fix it? You tried on your own. You're a person with willpower. Boy, you can do it. Maybe you aren't a person with willpower and you can't do it. Well, either way it goes, with God, you can do it. Things that you even tried yourself with all the willpower that you had, you couldn't do. God can do it. And God will do it when He realizes that we're having total trust in Him. So, last week I began on starting with hindrances to worship. What is it that hinders us and keeps us from entering into that type of worship where we're having an attitude of worship, that my life is an attitude of worship? What could hinder that? And the first hindrance that we got into a little bit last week was guilt and condemnation. That you can't worship God like you need to worship God because you still don't know who you are. Well, let me just give you some scripture. The Word says that you are the child of the living God. You are joint heirs with Jesus. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus loves us as much as He loves His Son. Now, that's hard for humans to understand. You know, how could you love everyone equally like you love your own son, because, you know how we love our kids and all that. Well, see, we in the human realm have levels and degrees of love. We have different kinds of love for one another. I love my dog. I love ham hocks. I love my truck. I love my wife. I love, you know, strawberry shortcake. We love everything, right? Love the golf course, a beautifully manicured golf course. That's how I see heaven. Beautifully manicured golf courses with lakes that a motorboat's never been in. And you can catch, if you're not hitting the golf ball well, you can just take the pocket fisherman out and catch bass on the sideline and then go finish golfing. I mean, that's how I see sun out every day, 80 degrees every day. That's how I... Now, you can have heaven however you want your heaven to be. That's the way my heaven is. All right? And so, you know, we just need to make sure that we're understanding that all of that is made possible because I'm a joint heir with Jesus. God loves me as much as he loves his own son. See, our degrees of love are conditional. You can say, well, there's no way I could, you know, Kim and I want, well, I don't know if Kim thought about it, but I thought about it. I even thought about possibly one day, you know, that we'd maybe adopt kids. Don't worry, it was a fleeting thought. I love kids. I love children and all of that. And I'm going to lavish my love on my grandchildren. Dougie, think you might need to go head this fella out off. He's coming in with the mission. But anyhow, so we need to know and we need to understand that it's hard for us to understand different levels of love because God loves everybody exactly the same. That really is hard for us to fathom. He has unconditional love for us. Just like he loves his own son. Now, see, we have a hard time fathoming that, but that's who we are. The Bible says that we're a friend of God. The Bible says that we're joint heirs with Jesus. We're partakers. Amen? And if we understand that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, we have a rightness and a right relationship with him, that all of our sins are thrown away into the sea of forgetfulness, not to be brought against us again. That our sins have been washed whiter than snow. If we understand that, then we understand that stuff will never be brought against us again. We're clean. We're washed. We've been washed in the blood of Christ. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We have the rightness and right relationship with him. And you know what? As a result of that, the enemy can't get to you unless you let him. But see, sometimes people will allow what they did in the past. People will allow what they did yesterday. People will allow, mistakes from the past and relationships from the past. Just build on them and build on them and build on them till they'll think that they're not worthy to receive what it is that God has for them. That will keep you from worshiping. If you don't know who you are, and you don't know where you stand, you're not going to be able to enter into worship like we need to enter into worship. It'll keep you back. It'll hold you down. And the Word of God tells us that we're not. That's not the way it's supposed to be. See, we can't survive in His presence if we don't understand what it is that He's done for us. There's other things that hinders our worship too, and that is when we've got wrongly formulated attitudes in our mind and in our heart. And you know, the first one would be pride. The very essence of worship, when it boils down to it, is humility. Okay? And I don't mean the kind of humility where I say, oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm not worthy to receive anything of God. I don't know why he would love me. Well, it don't matter why he does. The bottom line is, no, you're not just a sinner saved by grace. You used to be a sinner, and now you're saved by grace. And when you blow it, you ask God to forgive you, and he washes you and cleanses you, and you move right on, and that's the basis of the relationship. Humility, the type of humility that we're talking about here is that I just do what he says. That whatever it is that he said, and have you ever noticed, sometimes we don't like what it is that it says and how we have to apply it to our life because we say, I don't want to forgive. I don't want to not be offended. I'm not going to let that go as long as I live my entire life. I'm not letting that go. See, we don't want to do that. We don't want to not do that because that's how we feel. But we don't live by feelings. We live by faith. And what God gave us in the Word is so that those things will not happen to us again. So that we don't fall into, the Bible talks about a snare. Well, the snare that it's talking about is like a bird trap. You know, that birds would get into that snare and that trap. That's what the enemy tries to do. He tries to snare us in the soul man with our mind, will, intellect, and emotions to tell us that, number one, we're not worthy, that we've blown it all these different times, and that we're something or someone that we're not. We need to understand that that's not the attitude that we go to. You know, you can't say, I exalt you, God, and not humble yourself. You can't try to lift up the name of Jesus in worship if you haven't humbled yourself and understand, based on the Word, and Jesus is the living Word, what exactly has been done for you. You know, that's why it's so important. Most people don't know that they're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. They know they're saved. They know they're saved forever. Some of them do. But the Holy Spirit leads us in the way of worship no matter what other people think. And you know, pride can creep in there too, in people's worship if they're not careful. We tend to be more concerned when it comes to the area of worship what other people think than what we care about what God thinks about how we worship. You know, either direction, either way is not godly. So if we're sitting there thinking, well, I wonder what they would think if I did what I feel like the Spirit of God has put on my heart. Well, that's not right. And then if we're going to look at somebody, you know, and how they worship and all that kind of stuff and be concerned about that, then, Doug, you got another one popping in here. And would you please meet them outside? Would be great. Do not let them in the building unless they're coming to church. We need to understand that we need to be more concerned about what does God think than what anybody else thinks. And see, the only thing that really matters in the first place is what does God think. You know, there's been spouses in the Word of God that were ashamed of their spouse because of the way that they so freely worshiped. Well, you know what? They weren't trying to bring any glory to themselves or exalt themselves or lift themselves up. It was the other person's heart that wasn't right. You know, what are you doing watching how they worship anyhow? Why ain't you worshiping at the same time? And if God's laid something on your heart to do or to say, you do that and don't be concerned about what anybody else. You don't know what that person's got in their heart and what God's told them to do, because maybe it's unique to them to throw something off of them. They could have something on them, you know, that is just going to disappear and disintegrate if they just do what God tells them, how God tells them, when he tells them to do it. And what business is that of ours? That's between them and God, you and God, not me and God versus what you all do. Now, look, God's a decent and in order God. He does things in order, right? However, there are times where he'll have us do things. There's some people that say, never do anything because others are looking. But don't not do something because others are looking. That shouldn't be any criteria at all. The other thing is, well, if it feels good, I'm going to do it. Well, we don't live by our feelings. We live by faith. But I can tell you this, if you allow your feelings to control your worship, you are not ever going to have victory. You can't allow how you feel to control your worship. You need to worship regardless of how you feel. There's sometimes that if you just say, you know what, I don't care what it is that I feel, I don't care what it is that I'm carrying around, I do not care what I'm in the middle of right this second, I'm going to, against everything that's going on in my life, I am just going to let it go before God and let Him have victory in this situation. Sometimes if you just do that, you'd be amazed at the chains, you know. And we used to sing those songs, shake off those heavy bands and lift up holy hands. Well, you know what? You need to shake off some bands, all right, and you need to lift up some holy hands, but it ain't because you're singing the song and it ain't because of... I mean, get a little exuberance. Get a little excitement, you know. You get excited about other things. Think about the thing that you get the most excited about. And then have that kind of excitement. Have that kind of exuberance towards praising and worshiping your God. Why wouldn't you? You know? Where's your heart? Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is also. Now, see, if I can get all excited about a Kentucky basketball game, and if I can get all excited about playing golf, and if I can get all excited about playing racquetball, and if I can get all excited about the things that I love to do. Now, see, there's some things that gets Kim all excited that don't get me all excited. Kim can say, last night she says, you want to go to the movie? And I'm like, I'm not into movies. You can't pause it to go make some popcorn or use the bathroom. People say stuff in there and get unruly and interrupt your movie. And I'm not into it. But she's into it. So occasionally we'll go and she'll go in one movie and I'll go in another one. I ain't into chick flick, she is. She's not into the action stuff. See, I ain't into the sci-fi, but I like the action, you know, where they're shooting and, you know, running cars over bridges upside down and they land on the four wheels and the guy comes out both windows with both arms. That's the kind of movies I like. And Kim likes, they stole my kid, they stole my wife, they stole my, and then they came back together with one leg and one arm and still loved each other. me either, but if they made it, you would be there front row. But see, we all have different things that kind of turn us on, right? But we need to understand that nothing should turn us on like God turns us on. And nothing should get more affection, and we shouldn't be more excited and more exuberant about anything more than about God. And what God's doing and what God has done. And, you know, we all have different personalities. We have different things that make us click. We're not the same. God didn't make us the same. It'd be a boring, you know, we kind of make fun of those things. We make fun of anybody that's not like us. But yet it's because of those differences that make the world go round. The different personalities and all of that is what makes the world exciting and fun. To me, it is. And I like the uniqueness of people being unique. And, you know, you don't worship because you feel like it. You worship because that's what the Word tells us that we're supposed to do. Another thing is that could hinder your worship is presumption. Presumption. You can just presume that things should be a certain way, or they shouldn't be a certain way. Another thing would be people who come in just to be a spectator. You know, sometimes if you've not been to a church that's Pentecostal or Word of Faith or something like that. There might be sounds that you've never heard before. There might be people doing stuff that you've never seen before. You know, Kim and Courtney and them, we went to a church one time, and they were just really enamored, not the word. It got their attention that there was this lady that was going like, you know, and it was like she would start up here and come down, and start up here and come down, you know. And you know what? Hey, whatever floats your boat, okay? But what are you doing looking anyhow? You know, I mean, sometimes you can't help it. Sometimes I look at people and I'm not laughing at them, but I am getting a little tickled about their expression, but not in a way that I'm making fun. I just think it's cool and it's awesome. Whether some people will jump up and down, some people will lay on the floor, some people will dance, some people will do whatever that was. You know, some people will get banners and do banners. Some people will do Sister Chicken Walk, you know, that thing. You know, some people do all these different things, but when it boils down to it, what does it really matter? See, they don't even know you're on the same planet. You're sitting there going, and they're like, they don't even know you're alive because they're caught up with Jesus. That's the way it should be. You know, he didn't make us to be spectators of everybody else worshiping. Spectatorship shouldn't be a part of it. Worship's not performed by one part in behalf of the other. You know, it's not like one person does this and one person does that and that's the way it is. Nobody can worship for you. You can't worship for anybody else. The only person you can worship, the only person that you can lift up and worship is God, and the only person that can do that is you. Nobody can do it for you. You have to do it. Right? Let me give you a scripture here. If you'll turn with me to Romans 12. Look at 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. 3. I was just 10 off. 1 Corinthians 3. Have you ever noticed how many 3:16s there are throughout the Bible that are significant? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? You don't think you're an important person? Hey, you're more important than the president. You got the Spirit of God on the inside. Hey, if anybody deserves some pomp and circumstance and some worship, it's the Holy Spirit of God that resides on the inside of you that's going to bring that worship up to the Father. And I'm going to tell you, there's not a dignitary on the planet that deserves more than that. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 2. Five and six. Are you ready? You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. One more, Revelation 1. The book of Revelation 1, look at verse 6. And hath made us kings. In the Old Testament, you had kings, and the kings handled the provision, and you had priests who were in charge of the vision of God. The priest would get the vision. The king would go out and do what the priest said that God had told them to do, and then there came the provision. Okay, but now in New Testament times, it's different. In New Testament times, in verse 6, it says, and hath made us kings and priests. We're both kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Each and every one of us are called into a spiritual priesthood. Each one of us are responsible to offer up worship unto God as a sacrifice of this priesthood, this spiritual priesthood that we are a part of and that we belong to and that God has called us to be. You know, that's a part of our responsibility. Not that it should be a burden or anything like that, but one of the things that the priests would do is they would go into the temple and offer up sacrifices before God. Well, you know what? We just read we're in the temple. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God's on the inside of us. We should be offering up sacrifices of worship unto God. How do we do that? We don't have to kill goats and antelopes and all that mess they killed back there. And we don't have to sling blood all up on the doorposts and the altars and all that kind of stuff. All we have to do is offer up sacrifices of praise and sacrifices of worship and all of that. That's the sacrifice that God's looking for. God says, look, I don't care about all those sacrifices. I want your heart. And if we're giving Him our heart, it's going to come out. Now listen, I'm giving you Bible here. This isn't what I say. It may be what I want because that's what the Bible says, but that's the way it should be. That we give our all. It's not just some motion that we go through. Because see, I've been to that church. I've been to the church where we come in and they tell you to stand and you stand. They tell you to read and you read. They tell you to be quiet while they read, you be quiet while they read. And then they go out and tell you, ba-boom, 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 this is what you do. And it becomes this big ritual, but that's not the way it is. We don't belong to one of those churches. We belong to a church where you're free to worship God as He intended. He said there will be a day. We got into this scripture too, where you won't have to go to this mountain and worship. You won't have to go to that mountain to worship. You won't have to go to a particular place because you can worship God in spirit and truth. He says, and now the time has come. Okay? The time has come. And God is looking for true worshipers now. People that will worship Him in spirit and in truth, as a part of this spiritual priesthood that you become by coming unto the Father. Amen. We're all participants in raising high praises unto God. You know, you can't watch everybody else do it. We have to do it ourselves. And it doesn't matter if anybody else does it or not, we should. Whether anybody else is worshiping or not. It's none of my business what anybody else does. It's none of your business what anybody else does. It's your business that you worship God. That's your business. And my business is, it doesn't matter what you're doing or not, I'm going to. Right? And not just during music. Something we should be doing during the day. With music, without music. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we should be worshiping God. Worshiping God isn't sentimentalism either. You know, it's okay to feel, but it's not all about, you know, sometimes we can get so caught up in music and those types of things because of memories that music brought to us. And if you don't think that's true, you know, if you ask most couples, do y'all have a song? They go, oh yeah, that's our song. They say that's our song. Some of us have memories that when we were growing up, when we hear a particular song, we can remember what we were doing. And I don't want to go there this morning, but we can remember who we were doing it with. Right? And when that song comes on, those memories come forth. Right? And you know what? What is that? That's sentimentalism. Okay? You know what? We've got church songs just like that. Man, let Amazing Grace come on. And people are like, oh, stop everything. Here's Amazing Grace. I remember, and certain songs will have certain meanings to us. I think that forever, I love the song, and I love what it says, and I love the story behind the song, because I wanted to know about all of that. But when I hear "It Is Well With My Soul," I think of my grandmother. Because that was a song that was sung at my dad's mother's funeral. Woman of God, loved God, taught Sunday school for, 50 or 60-some years. They made a place of prayer for her outside of the church so people could come to this area and pray. It's the Grace Vanderpool place to pray. You know? But when I hear that song, you know, my worship isn't necessarily worship because of that song. Sometimes it's taking my mind back, my soul man back, to some special event that I've become sentimental about. Worship isn't sentimental. It's not about being sentimental. Worship is that you love God. Now, if you want to be sentimental because you're thinking about what God's done for you and what God's promised you and how good God's been to you, you can be sentimental about that. But don't be sentimental about, you know, well, I remember they played this song at the funeral. I remember they were playing this song when I met so-and-so. I remember they were playing that. That's not the sentimentalism that I'm talking about. Worship's not that at all. Worship is giving it all to the Father. Sometimes, have you ever talked about that? Sometimes pastors have a hard time being blunt with the flock because they have a familiar spirit. Here's what I mean by that. I know y'all. I love y'all. But I tell you what, I don't ever want to be so familiar with you that if God tells me to tell you something that I don't want to. Because it really shouldn't matter if what I'm getting ready to tell you breaks you. The Bible says, speak the truth in love. I can tell you something that makes you feel good. We can all hold hands and sing Kumbaya, Lord, come by here, Lord, Kumbaya, come by here. Or I can tell you the truth, and the truth will make you free. Right? I don't want to be so familiar with you that I can't tell you the truth. I don't even want to be that familiar with my wife. And that's pretty familiar. But I want to be familiar enough. I want to be able to always with my wife and my wife with me that God is the number one thing. That how we're thinking about it is how God says it happens. That's okay to be sentimental like that. Right? But just like we have familiar spirits with people, which, by the way, we could call that a soul tie. We don't want to do what needs to be done or say what needs to be said because we have that tie with them, even though it's in the way of God doing what God wants to do. There's songs like that are so familiar that we have those same types of feelings towards them. You know, the truth is the truth. And we're going to be judged according to the truth, not what I think about the truth. We'll be judged according to the truth. But I want to know the truth. And people go, I want to know the truth. Okay. The truth is, the Word of God says, I know, but I love them. It doesn't say in the Word that you can veer away from God's Word just because you love them. Especially because you love them. You got to do it God's way. Because you love them. God ain't in it if you don't. If you don't do it God's way, the blessing and the flow of that blessing will stop. It will. Because for the blessing to continue to flow freely throughout your life, you've got to be walking in the will of God, according to the will of God, everything under the blood, everything clean. If not, something's stopping the flow. And many times it's us, because we didn't do what God told us to do, or we did part of what God told us to do, not all of what God told us to do. But I got this going on, and this person over here, and all. That doesn't concern God. God cares about every little intimate detail of our life, but what concerns God is that I do what God tells me to do. Doesn't matter what anybody else does. Man, I've been in counseling with these people. Well, we were living together. And when we were living together, he got mad and left. And Pastor, I just need you to agree with me that he comes back. I go, no. I mean, if you want to date and get married and he comes back, go ahead. But do you think me as the pastor is going to pray for the person that you were living in sin with to come back so you can be back in sin? Now, isn't that amazing? But people do ask you stuff like that. Like, I've made this mess, Pastor. Would you bless the mess? I mean, that's pretty much what they ought to say. And then when you say no, they're like, you have no compassion. You have no love. No. Hey, what does the Word say? Happens a lot when you're counseling premarital. You know, all the stuff that comes out in the premarital stuff. You don't even have to ask it, just like, comes rolling out, and you're going, well, praise God. Appreciate you sharing that with me. And now let's talk about how to get this thing off on the right track. Should we get married today? Or should we not get married at all? That really sets them off. God intended the music to help us to open our hearts, to become more receptive, not to become familiar. Music is a vehicle and not an end to itself when it comes to worship. Music is a vehicle to get us to enter in. Amen? Music's good. But when I talk about worship, it doesn't always include music. It can, but it doesn't always include music. Look with me, if you would, to Ezekiel. Ezekiel. Dougie, I think you might need to cut the air off because the peanut gallery is shivering, according to the peanut gallery. Go to Ezekiel 33 and go to verse 32. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do not do them. So in other words, you can come in and you can sing all the words that are supposed to elevate God. You can sing all the words that are supposed to be ministering to Him. But you know what? It's just as worthless as the word is in your life when you're just speaking it over your life and hearing it preached if you're not doing it. In other words, you can come in and think you're in worship and be saying all the right words, but if you're not doing it, then you weren't really worshiping. Now, maybe it happens this way. maybe as you're singing, you realize that you need to do it. And your heart breaks before God. And you say, God, I thank you because that's how I want it to be. I ask you that you forgive me and cleanse me and that I'm more that way. That's worship. But just because you're singing it, in Him we live and move. That's it. You know, you can go through all the, shake off those heavy bands and lift up holy hands. You know, we can do all that. Hey, went back, took back what He stole from me. Took back what He stole from me. I took back what He stole from me. Yeah, He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He ain't under your feet as soon as you walk out in the door and the first person says something cross. You're going, oh, God, I don't know why every stinking time it's happened. No. Shake off the heavy bands and leave the bands there. Take back what the enemy stole from you, and when he goes to try to take it back again, and he will. He's the devil. He's the enemy of your soul. Like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Notice he ain't a lion. He's just like one. Makes a bunch of noise, but he's not effective if you understand who you are, according to the scripture. But we got to know that. We got to know that just because he whispers something in your ear doesn't mean that it's true and that you let it affect your life. Soul tie. Some people have a soul tie to the enemy. How can you do that and be a Christian? I'm going to have to study that one. I don't even know where it came from. Really don't. Here's what St. Augustine said. When I'm moved by the voice of him that sings more than by the word sung, I confess to have sinned. Another thing that can be a hindrance to your worship is just giving God lip service. How are you today? Blessed. Blessed and highly favored. Praise God. Tell you what, I don't know what's going on. Guys, you can't be like that. Hey, you're blessed and you're highly favored. You're God's, look at me, I'm God's favorite by far, according to the Word. But you know what? The Word also says you're God's favorite. So, because see, remember, He's the one that loves us all just the same as much as He loves His own Son. Okay, we don't understand that kind of love, but that's the way the love is. All right? If that's the case, and it is, that is an awesome kind of love. If I know that I'm God's favorite, and if I'm God's favorite, and I got all of heaven at my disposal, then you know what? I'm not going to let things beat me down. I'm not. But we can get in the habit of, because it's, I call it Christianese. How you doing today? Blessed and highly favored. Now, you ain't walk like that all day. You ain't talk like that all day. That's lip service there. That's what that is. That's lip service. Now, the truth is you're blessed. And the truth is you're highly favored. But if you've been moping around all day and been telling everybody, oh, Lord, Lord. And then somebody goes, how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. You're like one of them Moonies I used to meet at the airport. You know, they're living in this commune with little flowers in their hair and they're selling it to you as you get off the plane. And then they go back to the compound. They're all miserable. You know, it's like that way with any God. You can't just get their lips. Hey, their lips speak one thing, but their hearts are far from me. Right? You don't just say it because that's what you're supposed to say. I'm blessed. Then we'll go, I'm healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And how you doing? I'm sick as a dog, man. This cold is, I'm about to take a cold. Well, let it go. Don't take it. Let it go. Don't receive it. I'm going to catch a cold. Miss it. Miss it. Let it go. Look, that's one that you can just move and let it go. You know, it's what we say. Dylan, without that...
Hey, man.
Hey, Dylan, without realizing what he was saying today, he's going, I'll be okay taking that vacation, but if I was stuck in the house all day, I'd be claustrophobic. And I go, I agree together with you, brother. He goes, you know what I mean, Dad. I go, no, I know what you said. See, we don't understand this stuff that we talk on ourselves sometimes. You know? We need to make sure that we say what the Word says. And it can't just be fake, you know, oh, blessed and highly favored, how are you? I mean, be for real. If that's not really how you feel, then get somewhere till that's really how you feel. And don't tell me. Be happy. You know, hey, if you can't take the Word for it, what God's Word says, how about the guy that sings the song? Don't worry, be happy. You know, some people get more excited about that song than they do that's what God said. Yeah, this is, now see, people would want to put you before a firing squad if they go, listen, I've got serious things going on. And I looked at them and I go, don't worry, be happy. They'd want to take a gun and shoot you right there. You know? Well, it's not like that. Life's not just smiles and being happy and having joy. No, in this world you will have trouble. That's what Jesus said. But take heart in this. I have overcome the world. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I win. You win. The enemy can't defeat us unless we let him, because we've already won. And, you know, it's based on whether we believe God is who he said he is and that he's done what he said he's going to do, or whether we don't. And you can't give lip service and say the cutesy little Christian things that we say. You know, it used to be that the churches that didn't believe in prosperity and didn't believe that God wanted to bless you and prosper you and all that, they preached against it and said, oh, money is the root of all evil. Them people over there, be leery of them, because they believe that God wants to prosper them and they're trying to fleece the flock and blah, you know, on and on and on. Well, then just a couple years ago, they came out with that, what was that one about expand my territory and the Jabez. The blessing of Jabez. That was the biggest thing going on. Like that scripture ain't been there all along. But all them churches that didn't believe in prosperity are now going, okay, but we found a scripture now. God wants to bless us. God, please expand our territories. Bless me and keep me safe. And all those people that didn't believe in it, they now begin to believe in it. Well, you know what? They ought to see the other 5,000 verses that have to do with finances and blessing and prosperity. But they found one. They wouldn't believe none of mine, but they believed that one, which happened to be one of mine too. Okay? So they jumped on that prosperity bandwagon, because it's not a bandwagon. That's what God says is going to happen. The Bible says that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. The Bible says that you and I are commanded blessed. God commands blessing on our life. The Bible also says that the blessing will literally hunt us down and overtake us. And some people go, I tell you what, I don't know what has happened today, but all this stuff has just come my way. The blessing will literally hunt you down and overtake you. But it can't take you by surprise if you're expecting it. I'm expecting God to bless me. When I get to the cash register, I'm expecting a blessing. When I sit down to eat, hey, you talking about doing things in faith. Go to a restaurant and eat. You better be eating by faith. Sorry to bring that to your attention. But you better be. And all y'all that they don't ever get your steak right and you send it back, you better be eating by faith when you go to the restaurant. Well, I'll tell you what, I ain't sending mine back no more. I like it when they bring it out medium rare when Kim wanted well done, because she ain't going to send it back for that very reason. And tomorrow when I microwave it, it'll only be medium. So I like that. I say, Lord, thank you for this blessing that I've just received. Amen. So the last one that I want to finish with today, a hindrance to your worship, is some people won't release themselves in worship and won't give themselves to worship in fear of they're going to be manipulated. In other words, they don't want to be manipulated by anybody. So if you come in to worship and the person says, come on, folks, enter in. Lift your hands before God. And people are sitting there going, well, if I wanted to have lifted my hands, I would have. Well, why didn't you? You know, why does it got to be that way? I mean, if you're really so full that it's bubbling over, you can't help but the hands to get in the air. You can't help but to enter in and close your eyes and just be thinking about Jesus. But see, people have a fear of being manipulated. Let me ask you something. Why would anybody want to manipulate you to worship other than for you to receive? Do you think that maybe if you enter in too deep that you'll give too much in the offering? I tell you what, when I enter in like that, I just want to give everybody everything. And I'm not going to enter in. I'm just too free. Imagine that. You know, today I posted on Facebook under the Grace Fellowship and on our website, I was reading in the temple where God had instructed the people to bring all the materials to build the temple. And they continued to bring so much material that the pastor had to tell them, we've got too much, don't bring no more to the church. And I'm thinking, I bet that was the last time in church history that the church ever had too much. Hey, no, we ain't giving today because, man, I was reading in Exodus and Deuteronomy, and I was reading back there somewhere in the Old Testament where it said, don't even bring no more, we got too much already. Well, you know, that was then. This is now. Church has to operate. Amen. And you know, God's going to get it. God's going to get done what he wants to get done. But he's going to get it done with obedient people whose hearts are open. But some people have so much fear of being manipulated. Now, see, they'll let a person manipulate them in relationships. And they'll let a boss manipulate them. But, hey, they're going to take a stand at church, bless God. I'm not getting manipulated there. They allow themselves to be manipulated everywhere else, but bless God, not at church. There, I'm going to be firm and hold my... When all people are wanting you to do is to get that mess off of you and get you free. That should be the motive. If the motive is so you can see, you know, how cute we are and how cool we are and how good we are. Hey, you know what? There's lots of places I can tell you because I've been to those churches. That if I came to a pastor like I did this morning and talking to Brother Dale, and I go, Brother Dale, you know, I had these things on my heart in worship. He's sitting there before church starts and he's charting out the worship. And Kevin goes, and Kevin, man, he's got the plan. If you say, hey, do you want to go eat lunch today? I promise you he'll say no because he didn't plan it. I mean, he's got to eat, but he didn't plan it. And because he didn't plan it, he can't do it. Now, if you want to talk about lunch 2 weeks from now, he'll check his schedule. But that's his personality, right? See, I fly by the, you know, I just fly. Kevin's the exact opposite. Kim's the exact opposite. That whole family is like that. They got a plan. And see, I don't have to plan. I can just go, woo, let's do it. At a whim. Hey, they'd go, let's dive off that cliff. And I'm going, oh! they ain't even got it out of their mouth yet. I'll check it out for you. And you know, neither one of those are exactly right. We probably need somewhere in the middle. Right? But you may not, you don't have to plan it all out. You know, I didn't plan on worshiping like that. I didn't plan on doing it. Well, let it go. Okay, the very last hindrance to worship. You do know that the devil desires your worship. And is continually trying to do everything he can do to try to get you to direct your worship at those things. You know, if I can get into some other style of music to the point that I don't care what the words are saying and whether they're you know, glorifying God or they're just the exact opposite of what the Word of God says. And I don't care if I just grew up with country music. And listen, I'm not talking about any style of music, all right? Whether it's country or whether it's rock, you know what? If it's not God's music, it all has those same words, you know? It all talks about the drinking and the drugs and the sex with anybody you want to have sex with, whenever, however, whatever, just do it. If it feels good, do it. A lot, and most of those styles of music have a lot of that intertwined. And if you're listening to that, that's not good. Garbage in, garbage out. Have you ever filtered? Wait a minute, I know what you're thinking. I like the beat. Yeah, I got you. But it's God created the universe and the world with words. What do the words say? Okay? And if those words don't line up to what the word says, here's what's happening. It's causing strife within yourself. And where there is strife, there is confusion and every evil work. Pastor, are you saying that if I listen to country, I'm going to hell? It's not what I'm saying. If I listen to rap, am I going to hell? You know, sometimes when I hear that classical stuff, I'm thinking I want to go somewhere. I don't like, you know, and it don't even have words. And I'm just thinking, you know, you know how Albert Einstein looks? That's what I picture at the piano when I'm here. I look like I see Einstein's picture, that, like that's how that person's feeling. Okay? Rock and roll music, which is what I grew up on and cut my teeth on, but every one of those songs has something about, you know, sex and alcohol and, you know, feels like the first time, the very first time, you know. And Kim, the other day when I was telling her about some of the Prince songs and what they meant, you know, that song wasn't about a car. She was like, I never knew that in my entire life. I never knew that's what that was talking about. See, all these people all this stuff has connotations. The devil, if you don't get this, I'm making light of it, but if you don't get it, you don't really get it. But the devil used to lead worship in heaven. He considered himself to be equal with God, caused rebellion in heaven, and was cast out of heaven. He has eternity in the pit. Him and all of those that follow him will be in a burning pit for eternity. Now see, we can think, oh, I've heard that. That's a story. That's Bible. That's truth. That's what happens. So what's happening is the enemy always has a counterfeit for the true thing that God has. So he tries to put music out there that just makes you feel good and just makes you want to listen to it. That you just like the beat. That you just like the words. But what's it doing? It's pulling away from what God has for you. And not all of it. I'm saying generally speaking. Because it's like any other lie. Somebody always tries to put enough good in there to make it believable. Right? But if you're listening to something that's totally against, you know, the Word of God and doesn't line up with the Word and the lyrics, you know they don't line up. Internally, it's causing strife because you know that's not for you and that's not your life and that's not who you are and that's not what you're about. And you can say, well, I just think that's cool. I'm not going to do any of that. But it's causing confusion. It's causing confusion in your spirit, man. Because see, I'm listening to the Word of God that says, I'm a child of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I'm an overcomer. I live right. I live clean. Whatever the Word says. And then we're listening to that other stuff. The spirit man's going, ding, ding. Which one do I believe? And then when something happens or something is said and I have to make a right decision, it clouds the decision because now I'm having confusion and strife within myself. Can't let that happen. Can't let it happen. Garbage in, garbage out. Garbage in, good stuff in, good stuff out. Victory, overcoming, winning, right? Can't allow that stuff to come in there. I on occasion get caught up in watching those 48 hours and the first 48. And I did that a little bit last night, and I'm sitting there going, I have just watched 3 straight hours of the first 48 hours trying to solve this murder. Couldn't I be thinking about something better? But I did. And I'm like, there's probably more positive things that I could be watching, like Discovery Channel. Or read my Bible. Pray. Take a walk. And I did. I was sitting there going, I have watched 3 straight hours of people being killed and them trying to solve the murder and then interrogating them and them lying like a dog the whole time. And then Kim goes, well, we're going to Dick's Sporting Goods. I go, I need to take a walk. I need to pray after watching 3 hours of that. Did not. I watched 48 hours something else. But it was about a murder, wasn't it? Lord, help me when I pray to not do it when I come back. But you know what I'm talking about. It does. We're not going to be as victorious as we can be if we're not filling ourselves up with good stuff. Let's fill ourselves up with good stuff. And remember, the enemy desires your worship, and he's going to attract your worship as much towards him and those things that he uses to be your snare than for you just to willingly give your love and worship to your Father. All those things can hinder your worship if you allow them. Amen? But we're not going to do that, right? Amen. Stand with me this morning.